You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hey guys, my name is Candace. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm honored to bring a message to you about growing up, about staying mature in the faith. It's kind of funny. This is my first time teaching to the empty room. I feel like I have evaded that. I was the last person to teach before all of coronavirus happened. And then when our church opened up for just that short month and we had limited people in the seats, that's when I taught again. And so there was people in the room. But now I'm doing all of the work that Pastor Andrew and all of the other pastors who've been speaking have been doing and visualizing you through the screen. Do the work with me and let's connect. I believe that the Lord has the power to transcend technology, time. Even if you're listening to this a year later, we can still connect hearts together. I've been praying for this message and praying for you as a listener that we would be able to take steps closer to Christ together as we listen to and study the word. So let's just get into it. Last year, this time around, we tried to do a series that that joins us all together from children's ministry, youth ministry, all the way up. All of our journey groups that are starting up next week are all going to be centralized around the same theme. And the reason why we gather together to do something like this that kind of is all-encompassing is because we believe that that helps in the process of growth. We want to grow. We want to be people who go to the next level. Let me read a verse to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4. You can find this on the YouVersion app if you're watching at home, or if you're just listening and you're cooking dinner or whatever you want to do, just listen, follow along. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, says, "We are not meant to remain as children." That phrase, I'm going to pause there, because that phrase alone suggests that some people do remain as children, but that's not the way we were designed to be. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ. To grow up in every way into Christ is the goal. So during this season, we are going to head into a season called 40 Days of Prayer, where the portion of us that we're going to centralize and focus on and grow in is our prayer lives to Jesus. I know when I was a kid, there were several things that I was looking forward to when it came to adulthood, okay? One of the main things was basically being able to stay up late to dictate my bedtime. My parents gave us an early bedtime from the start, and they were probably the most faithful to that bedtime than any other family rule that we had. We went to bed strictly at 8 o'clock. In order to get to bed at 8 o'clock, we would start really, really early. 7:30, we would have to start, you know, bathing and doing all those things. We were in bed by 8. When I got around 13, and it's summertime, 8 o'clock is not dark. And I remember telling my mom, like, "Mom, it's not dark yet." And she's like, 8 o'clock bedtime. And so look, I just like had this aspiration for what it meant to be an adult, what it meant to be mature, and it would be to be able to stay up super, super late. That's what I categorized maturity as. Okay, so if you're young, you're listening to this, I want to tell you that we are not talking about age as growth. We're talking about maturity as growth, because I know that some adults still make immature decisions. So if you're a teenager and you're like, "Man, my parents are immature," there's this little sliver that might be true. I'm not encouraging you to think that. We all grow up physically in some capacity, but not everybody matures. So I want to talk to everybody, whether you're a kid, you're a teenager, or you're an adult. We are not talking about chronological growth. We are talking about maturity of growth. We're talking about the ability to hold firm to the right things, to not be shaken when it gets tough. And I will tell you, maturity has a lot more to do with the quality of your character, not just the status of your bedtime, okay? So if you get to pick your bedtime, like me, I'm a night owl. I love to stay up past 11 o'clock. That does not make me mature just because I get to stay up late, okay? There are certain things. Just because you have a driver's license doesn't mean you're mature. Just because you get to vote doesn't mean you're a mature person. So we want to talk about, do you actually want to mature up? Do you actually want to grow? Because I will tell you, it is not as easy as getting a driver's license or being able to pay a bill or being able to stay up late. It is not those things that make you mature. It's actually a different list of things, and they're really, really hard things. I do know that when it comes to growing up, to when it stay, I think some of us have like that Peter Pan mentality. Like, I just want to stay a kid. I just want to stay loose and free and flexible, unhindered by the weight of maturity. Has anybody ever felt like that? Like, the thing about being mature, I'm just not that interested, right? And I think that as a church, as I look around at how we're handling this season, how we are processing what's happening in our culture and our world, I do sense there's some eruption of immaturity happening. And I want to ask us a very serious question. Do we want to mature up? Do you want to continue to grow? Because it will not happen just because your body is maturing. It doesn't happen just because time is passing. It happens when you make a conscious decision to take the next steps closer to Jesus. Do you want to grow? I think a lot of times we don't want to grow, and I can tell because I hear people say, like, I don't want to mature up. I want to take it easy. I like not dealing with the hard stuff. I like not being accountable for my faith, my actions, or my lack thereof. I like not having to sacrifice to love other people. I like not having to be uncomfortable. I like freaking out when I don't get what I want. I like staying where I am until I'm certain of the next steps. I like being offended easily. I like the status quo, and I don't want to make other people uncomfortable by sounding like a Jesus person. I like turning to people in social media as my help instead of Jesus Christ, instead of seeking answers through scripture, instead of seeking answers through wise counsel. I like looking and Googling and Pinteresting the answers to my life. So some of these things help me know that we struggle to want to grow, because actual growth is a lot of work. And church, I believe that when we continue to grow, as we continue to mature up, we will see mighty, amazing, incredible things happen. We will see salvations happen. And I believe that we can be strong so that no matter what happens next month, I feel like every month there's a new thing that happens. No matter what happens next month, we can be strong. We can be consistent. We can be the next level. We can take new ground. We can overcome. We don't have to back down. We can finish this race and we can keep our faith. Let's grow. I'm a plant person. And pretty recently, I've been growing a garden every couple seasons or so. And so I've gotten pretty decent at tomatoes and squash. Coming out of my ears, guys. I have squash for days. But I decided to grow something different this year. And I planted a watermelon plant. And watermelon, they start really, really tiny. Most plants really do. They start as a seed, but I buy them pre-populated, a little bit of growth already. Put that thing in my yard and just kind of hope for the best, basically, is my method as a gardener. And as I'm sprinkling water on it, all of a sudden I start to see it just takes off, guys. My watermelon plant, if you can ask any of the people who are close to me, like if we're FaceTiming, there's a good chance they have had to look at my watermelon plant because I'm really proud of it, okay? It is growing like crazy. And the thing that I've learned about watermelon plants, at least the variety that I have, is that they have these little arms, okay? So the plant is pretty strong, but it has these tiny, tiny little vines that come out and they want to grab onto stuff. And a watermelon plant, just like some green beans, there's other plants that do this. They're trellis plants. As their vines reach out, they will grab onto anything that they get their little viney hands around, and it pulls them up further. Okay? And so as people who want to grow, I believe that there's certain things that we can grab onto to pull ourselves up, to grow in maturity, to grow in strength, to grow in consistency in our relationship with Jesus. So some of those things are what I want to talk about today. What are the things that we can grab onto that actually trellis us, it actually supports us in our process of growth, so that we are not, just like the scripture says, we are not swayed by every random teaching that we hear. Okay, so I want to be like that watermelon plant. Amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 2. We're going to start in 41. This is a story of Jesus. I just want to talk about this story just for a couple minutes before I give you those trellis pieces. This is a story that it just kind of gives me a little bit of a window into Jesus as an adolescent. This is actually Jesus when he's a kid. So you would say, like, in the process of growing up, a lot of people don't give kids that much credit. But I, as a former youth pastor working in children's ministry, I give kids a ton of credit. They are sometimes wildly mature in their faith because they see Jesus without the hindrances of the world so often. And so listening to children and listening to what's on their heart and how they see Jesus can actually help you as adults grow in the Lord. But this is Jesus as a kid. Luke 2, starting in verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Have you ever lost a kid in Walmart? You feel bad for like the 30 seconds they're out of your sight. Here's Mary and Joseph losing him for an entire day. Then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking the questions. I'm going to read that again because that's a really important piece. Verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Verse 49, "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" The King James Version says, it's like my favorite version of this verse. It says, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" It's my favorite. Verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. 51, then they went down to Nazareth, and with them he was obedient to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I believe that God doesn't want us just to grow in favor with him. He's actually expecting us to grow in our relationships with the people around us. And that's one of the hard things that I see about this season, is not that COVID is difficult or police brutality is difficult or that racial injustice is difficult, is that we've allowed these things to actually grow us out of relationship with the people around us. And I want to warn us, church, as people who are claiming to be members of the church of God, to be members of the body of Christ, to be members of the kingdom of heaven, that we have to do better with not allowing our relationships to be severed by the things of this world. That we don't have to not grow. We are not only required to grow in Christ, we are also required to grow in favor with man. And so I'm challenged by this. And so I just wanted to add that God is asking us to walk humbly, to walk in love, and to grow in favor with the people around us by loving them in an extravagant way. Extravagant way. So number one, the first trellis I want to talk to you guys about today is to get in the Word. Get in your Bible. Can you spend the next 40 days? We're ramping up right now for a 40-day commitment. I don't know if you didn't know that, but that's what you're signing up for right now, hopefully, is 40 days of a commitment together with your church family to do something big. And over these next 40 days, can you commit to staying in your Word daily? I don't think that there's anything overly special about the daily intake of Word other than it grows you spiritually. It feeds you spiritually. When I think about feeding myself, I do not like to miss meals, not even just meals. Like, I can't imagine going an entire day without eating unless I was fasting and it was a really, really holy moment. But I don't like to miss meals. And so when I think about the growing my body and what missing meals does to me, to my attitude, my head, I get headaches when I'm lacking water. When I think about what my physical body is doing, I have to imagine what my spiritual body, what happens to my spiritual body when I deny it the intake of food of the gospel, when I deny it the intake of the food of the bread of life. It says in Matthew 4:4, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. Have you been feeding your spirit consistently? Some of us are kind of like, we like to gorge on Sunday, so I'm gonna read 2 chapters today, you know what I mean? And then nothing for the rest of the week. I will confess, I lived this way many, many years of my life where Sundays was my big intake. Like, it's my Sabbath, it's my day. I'll get all my scripture for the week, and throughout the week I will like kind of like, you know, think about it or whatever. It's kind of spread out mentally. But really, I wasn't intaking regularly. And it really wasn't until I started intaking the word of God regularly, number one, that I really started to understand it, that it really started to get a feel for, and that it really started to help start to shape my worldview. How I understood the world started to be dictated by how I was being filled with scripture daily. So for every day for the next 40 days, can you commit to reading something, even if it's a verse, But I know you guys be reading those articles, long old articles about how COVID is this and COVID is that and how to help your kids. I know you guys are readers. And so as a reader, can you spend some of that time reading the word? It's challenging. It's not easy. It won't always be fun. You won't always understand it, but it will help you grow. One of the things about that first verse that we read is not being swayed by every form of teaching. A lot of things that I'm seeing right now will take a verse without the context of the entirety of the gospel and try to use it to get people to behave a certain way or think a certain way. And as you become a person who understands the scripture in a bigger form, you'll be able to discern which teachings line up more with the scripture and which ones don't. And I think that that's really important in this day and age when there's access to scripture really, really easily, and people who have negative thoughts about the church are actually using scripture to pull people away from our family. And that scares me. That scares me because people sound real smart because they're using the right verse. And I will just challenge you, be better, be stronger, be more mature by knowing it yourself. Don't rely on me. Don't rely on Pastor Andrew. Get in on your own. And if you need some help, we have lots of different resources. YouVersion app is incredible. There are journey groups starting here in just a little bit where they can help you walk through scripture. There's plenty of pastors who can help you figure out how to start if you've never started, but let's just get in it. The second trellis I want to talk to you guys is to use what you got. What do you have to use for the kingdom? This is that verse, what I said in King James Version, where it said to be about your Father's business. When I come to you, when you hang out with me, do you get a sense from a person that they're actually about the kingdom? You can actually start to sense this. And as a person, I believe that you have gifts, that you have things that the Lord has given you specifically. If you said yes to Jesus, then you have spiritual gifts. And as a person who wants to be mature, you need to start to use your gifts. If you spend your entire life waiting for God just to continue to bless you and bless you and bless you, but you're not actually a part of blessing and blessing and blessing, we grow kind of weak in our ability to do some of the warfare that God has asked us to do. We used to play this game when I was a youth pastor, the game of cups. I'm going to sneak back here and grab my cups. So there's this game, and there would be cups all over the table, or maybe it was the floor, and you would have one team, and they were cup up. And then you'd have another team and they were cup down. And the point of the game is there'd be a certain amount of time. We'd have a time on, the time on a clock. And your goal is when that clock was done, your team as a cup up team, if there's more cups up, you win. And as a cup down team, you're more cups down, you win. So the whole time there's people just flipping cups. It was just flipping cups. It was crazy. It was wild. And people would bump heads and it was kind of chaotic and cups would be flying and we were getting crushed. And it was super, super fun. Super, super fun. You guys should play that with your family. Cups up, cups down, game of cups. But when I think about this, I think about the spiritual warfare that's happening right here and now. Right now, the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy you. So he is trying to knock down your cups, and he is not stopping. He is not giving up. He is not waiting for you to mature up. And so we cannot wait till we've read the entire Bible. We cannot wait till we have a degree. We cannot wait till we have an extra $1,000. We cannot wait till we feel confident. We need to be people who every single day we use what God has given us to turn the cups. It is our chance to do what we can do for our team to turn the cup. There's a person who's waiting for you to be an encouragement in their life. That is turning their cup. There is a young person who is waiting for you to bring them under their wing in a consistent way. That's turning the cup. I believe under the sound of my voice, wherever you are, there's a person who has the gift of healing. There's a person right now who has the ability, who has the connection with God to lay hands on people and take away sickness in Jesus' name. You need to be turning the cup. Whatever you have as people of Christ, if we are not using our gifts, we will continue to stay weak, not only as an individual, but as a church family. And I believe that we are meant to be strong. We are meant to be mighty. We are meant to bear fruit. So use what you got. What do you have to turn the cup? What do you have to participate in building the kingdom? What do you have? I know some of us have some time. I know some of us have, all of us have spiritual gifts. Are you using these every day? One of the ways you can go about this, number one, finding out what your gifts are. You may not know, and that's okay. Start asking the Lord, God, what do you have for me, but what do you have from me that you want me to pour into other people? What do you have for me? And you can ask this question every day. You can ask this question every day. You can sit with your journal and say, God, who do you want me to reach out to? Who do you want me to visit? Who do you want me to minister to? God, give me the gift of discernment to understand what to do with my time, to understand how to lead my family, to understand how to take the next steps to turning the cup for your kingdom. I do know at the end of that timer, when that timer goes out, we win. We got the most cups flipped, okay? Amen? We don't have to be afraid of that. I think we just need to be afraid of being called out at the end of the game for sitting on the sidelines. That's the thing that scares me the most. I don't believe that we're going to lose. Amen? We are going to win. But I want to, at the end of the game, say I played. I was in the game. I turned a few cups because I ministered to people. I sacrificed for my family. I spent the time. I spent the money. I donated. I participated. I interceded. I blessed others. How are you participating? Whatever you have, start to use it. And as you use it, you will grow. If you don't use it, it will be hard to understand what God is doing during your season. And the last thing, really, really quickly, is to help others grow, to help each other grow. It says in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, this has been one of my the verses that I've been hearing the most and using the most during this time. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. During this season, it is difficult to maintain those connections, but I want to challenge you right now that we help each other grow when we stay united, when we stay connected, when we stay in unity together. So we're about to start journey groups, and it is our chance to gather together. Some of our people are meeting in houses. Some of our people are meeting on Zoom and other online platforms. But I will tell you that that gathering, and whatever platform it takes place on, is a chance to help others grow. If you've been a Christian for literally 45 minutes, you have something to share. You have something to share to other people. As a person, I've been a Christian for many, many years. And when I listen to the testimonies of young Christians, not just age young, but young in maturity, they just came into the faith. When I hear their stories of how God has shifted their hearts, my heart is stirred. My heart is encouraged. My heart is reminded of the glorious things that God is consistently doing in and around us. And I believe that as we gather together in groups, we are going to be able to encourage each other to continue praying, to encourage each other not to give up on doing the good work of seeing his kingdom come on this earth. There is much to do, church. And I think that I'm reminded of that more and more. My husband just told me, we were both kind of sitting. You ever do this with a friend? You just sit there silently scrolling, right? Me and my husband were sitting there silently scrolling, and he put his phone down and he's like, man, the world is on fire again. The world is on fire again. And we just sat there kind of feeling that burden. And I will tell you, the feeling of the burden of acknowledging that the world is on fire again can stop you from having hope that God can do something mighty. But I will tell you that because we're processing these things together, and we have some friends that we communicate with on a regular basis to help us process what's happening and how to find Jesus in the middle of the fire, we do not give up. And a lot of that is because people help us grow. Will you choose over the next 40 days to help somebody grow by being in a group, staying connected, staying engaged? Sometimes that means if you're an introvert, that means you got to step outside of your comfort zone and be the one to start the group. And I know that's terrifying. It seems like extroverts' jobs to maintain community, but really it's everybody's job to maintain community. Everybody has a different gift to offer to the process to help everybody grow. So journey groups are starting in just a week. So signups are going. You can log on online, kchanford.com/groups. You can message us and we'll send you the link. But I would encourage you to get into a group. And if you don't see a group that kind of lines up with your time, take the next step of growing and start one. Start one. All you need is a couple people to join with you. Stay encouraging to stay in scripture. Stay encouraging each other to use your gifts. Stay encouraging each other to pray every single day. Because I believe in Jesus' name, over these next 40 days, we are going to grow. We are going to mature. We're going to reach the next level in Christ. And it's because we're going to engage. So let me just pray for you guys, wherever you are. If you're watching with your children, maybe just gather them around. And let's kind of have a moment of commissioning. Maybe lay your hand on your own heart, or maybe on your own head, if you're feeling that. And just say, Jesus, I'm so grateful, God, that you have called us not to remain as children and not to be swayed by the wind of every other teaching, God, but that we would be consistent, we would be persistent, and we would be strong, growing in maturity in you. And I pray for this season, these next 40 days, that we as children of God, as your kingdom, God, that we would grow in our ability to hear from you. We would grow in our ability and capacity to pray. We would grow in our understanding of scripture in Jesus' name, that you would help us to understand and develop our spiritual gifts so that the troubles of this world would not be something that wants to stop us, but it would be a place, a target that we can then activate our faith, activate our engagement, and help see your kingdom come in the darkest places in this world. Help see your light shine in the darkest places in this world, God. That we would not count ourselves out because we feel too small, but we would count ourselves in because we know we're surrendered to the God who made it all. God, I just pray that you would encourage us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, encourage us. Be with us, Lord, as we take these next steps to grow up, to mature up, Lord, to be yours in every way, shape, and form. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchanford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.